I'd really like to say thank you very much indeed for agreeing to convene in this symposium to look at an important issue, this issue about solutions to Africa's development. It is indeed very important that as Africans we must focus on all of this and mobilize the intellectual capital that exists among ourselves to answer this question. What the principal was saying about the last Nelson Mandela lecture here by Mo Ibrahim, raising issues of leadership on the continent, those remarks were correct, because indeed I think this is an important part of our challenge as Africans, ourselves to find the solutions to Africa's development. I don't know how many of our leaders on the continent read books. I'm sure some of them do. I mean, apart from the Bible and the Quran and all that. Other books. But I think we have to produce these books because there are other Africans who do read books. So as we meet in the symposium, we have to look at the smart of what is it that we do, we say, as Africa's thought leaders about where should we be tomorrow. It is important that we have to do this. There's nobody else to do it for us. And the people who have done this for us in the past, and there are many who have said, who are these Africans? What are they? What's their past? Where should they be tomorrow? Other people have said that about us. And what has it produced? Disaster. A disaster from which we must rescue ourselves. I was saying that yesterday I was in Zimbabwe for the inauguration of President Mugabe. I don't know who among us here is, what opinions we have about Zimbabwe. But there are certain things which worried me greatly about Zimbabwe. With regard to these last elections, one of the things that worried me was there was a very intense and sustained campaign to discredit the elections before they took place. Very sustained and very intense. And so I was saying to myself, why? And I could see quite clearly that the intention was that in the event that the elections resulted in the victory of President Mugabe and ZANU-PF, they would obviously be unfair. They'd be fraudulent. In the event that they resulted in the election of Morgan Tsvangirai and the MDC, then they would be free and fair. That was the intention. But what's disturbed me about it, that communication about what's likely to happen in the elections, it didn't surprise me, but what disturbed me was that many among us Africans seemed to buy into the story that was being told. And so I was saying to myself, but this is very worrying, because what it means is that we as Africans don't know enough about ourselves and continue to be enslaved by a narrative about ourselves told by other people. Because anybody who were, any African who had been following the events in Zimbabwe for some time would not have been surprised at the election results, not in the least. And indeed, some of the people who were communicating these negative messages about the elections before they took place, about whom I've been speaking, even some of them actually predicted what would happen, that the particular politics of Zimbabwe meant you'd have a particular outcome. There's an old friend of mine in Zimbabwe, another intellectual like yourselves. I won't mention his name. Shortly before the elections, he says publicly, the MDC is going to sweep, gain his major victory in the rural areas of Zimbabwe. So I read this thing, and I say, but what's wrong with it? I haven't spoken to him now for some time. I'm going to ask him that question. I was saying, but what's wrong with it? You could never make it a prediction like that if you knew what's been happening in the Zimbabwe rural areas in the last 10 years. Many years ago, and it's part of the leadership in this region, we engaged the Zimbabwe leadership, President Mugabe and others, in a very sustained process to discourage them from the manner in which they were handling the issue of land reform. We're saying to them, yes, indeed, we agree. The land reform is necessary. But the way in which we're handling it is wrong. We tried very hard. No, you see all of these things about the occupation of the farms by war veterans and this and that and the other. All of this is wrong. That's what we're saying. But fortunately, Zimbabweans didn't listen to us. It didn't. And went ahead. The consequence of it is that I've looked at least four books that have been written about the land reform in Zimbabwe, all of which say that, in fact, process of land reform in Zimbabwe has given land to 300,000, 400,000 new landowners. The peasants of Zimbabwe at last own the land of Zimbabwe. The program succeeded and has this very direct benefit on these huge numbers of Zimbabweans. And so I found it very strange that this intellectual friend of mine could say that the MDC would win the elections in the rural areas. They couldn't. Essentially because they were identified by that rural population as having opposed the land reform. Rightly or wrongly, we can discuss that. The point I'm trying to make is that I think we still have a challenge to understand our own reality. And I'm using the example of Zimbabwe to say that I have a sense that even with regard to this issue, which for some reason, for years, has been a major issue in international media and politics and so on, that even we, as Africans, still have not quite understood Zimbabwe. I think it's your task to change that, so that we understand ourselves better. I think we should also ask ourselves the question, why is Zimbabwe such a major issue for some people? Zimbabwe is a small country, by any standard.
Yeah.
There's no particular reason why Zimbabwe should be a matter that to which the New York Times and the London Guardian and whoever else, Spiegel, why are they paying so much attention to Zimbabwe? Why?